This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to 100% Hockey after one of the greatest Olympic hockey days that I can remember. The quarterfinals of the men's hockey tournament in Milan were electric. 3 games to overtime. The Finns win in OT after coming from behind to beat Switzerland. Canada comes from behind. Nick Suzuki ties it. Mitch Marner wins it 4-3 against the Czechs. And the United States, who blew a 1-0 lead against Sweden with Mika Zibanejad scoring late, had Quinn Hughes score in overtime to advance to the semifinals. So the 4 teams left. Canada will play Finland. The United States will play Slovakia, who defeated Germany 6-2 in the first quarterfinal on Wednesday. Other than the 6-2 game, I don't know if there was any more tension in a day of hockey at the Olympics ever. It was fantastic. And a lot of people wondering about 3-on-3. The one thing you can say about 3-on-3 is you may not like it, but it always ends games fast. Today on 100% Hockey, as the men's hockey takes a break, John Davidson, Scotty Bowman return to the show to discuss what we saw on Wednesday and what we will see on Friday. Bowman and Davidson, Canada, Finland, United States and Slovakia on this edition of 100% Hockey.
NHL TV is now on DAZN. Hockey lives here.
Here we go.
Watch every game from every team. The best players in the world. And the coldest plays on ice. Watch up to 4 games at once for the ultimate NHL experience. Sign up now at DAZN.
100% Hockey on YouTube and all the podcast platforms, including Amazon Music, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. On the off day between the quarterfinals and the semifinals of the men's tournament, it was a crazy quarterfinal day on Wednesday, joined by John Davidson and Scotty Bowman one more time. All right, boys, how nervous were you yesterday watching those 3 games? Scotty, what'd you think?
I thought the Czechs had real good control, even the last 5 minutes. I really thought I was looking for the Canadian team to really get some chances. And, you know, it was a pretty simple play by Suzuki. I mean, it was an individual play. It didn't look dangerous. The puck went in the corner. And the next thing you know, he was able to somehow get away from the defender get it back to the point. Just a routine little shot, nice tip in, tie game, and of course now you're into 3-on-3. But I thought the Czechs, after they went ahead, were going to be tough to beat. I really thought. I mean, I didn't think Canada was able to push it as much as I thought. Well, you know, because you're running out of time.
John?
Scotty, I have a question for you. The Suzuki goal, now, if I remember correctly, he won the draw, right?
Yeah.
Then he went to the net. Now, the centerman on the Swedish club, he released him. He let him go, and the defender was supposed to get him. So yeah. the opposite center from Suzuki went out to the point. Should he have stayed with him?
That's what I thought, the defense. Yeah. The Czech defenseman, that would be the one area to me, when I look at all the teams, they didn't have a lot of experience on the defense. You know, Gudis, right. But they didn't have a lot of NHL defensemen. You know,
boy, I'll tell you what, though. Radko Gudis and Filip Hronek, holy smokes, did they play a game.
Those two, and Kempe must be 40 years old. I mean,
he's not that old.
Well, he was with Chicago, and they didn't use him. I remember exactly what happened to Chicago. I couldn't believe they weren't playing him, and then all of a sudden he went to Washington. He had a terrific Stanley Cup run. And they won.
35. How long would he be?
35. Well, I mean, but he's been out of the NHL for some time since Washington won the Stanley Cup in what it was 18 or 19, and then he's been over there. How long has he been over there? 5 years? 4 years?
He's played. Yeah. So his last NHL game was in 2022.
Yeah, no, it's 4 years ago. Yeah.
So the one thing I'll say is watching that game, Czech Canada, and between the three of us, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of games we've watched. That was one of the best ones I've watched for what it meant, the intensity, sitting at home here by myself watching it. My stomach was turning. There was the first game was disappointing. Germany didn't play very well at all. I was disappointed. The next three were classics. That was a great day of hockey to watch that stuff.
Well, let's finish on the Canadian game first. So, Scotty, you have coached on teams where – in theory, the team leader, the best player, has been injured, and the team rallies. How does that happen?
Well, I mean, you're right, because it happens because they have so many world class players. Really, I mean, but not ones that have been around a long time. Their best players are. This is a big Olympics for them, the first time. So I know what you mean, but they have. They've been battle-tested, and I thought that they really come up until the lead goal, until they scored. That Dostal gave the Czechs a pretty good chance. You know, like, I mean, it maybe didn't look great on the last goal by Marner. I mean, but John would know, being a goalie, backhand shots.
Yeah,
that's how they beat him. It was a perfect shot, but it wasn't very hard, was it? You know.
No, he kind of overplayed it a bit. His right leg was well past the right post, but 1-on-3, what he did was remarkable. Just to even get the opportunity for the shot, that was pretty special. The other thing, you know, you talked about losing Crosby, and I think when Gudas hit him, I think that galvanizes a team, because they probably wanted to kill Gudas, but you can't. And I mean, the way that he was playing like an animal. I mean, he played hard. But the other move that I think the coaching staff made was taking Wilson off the McDavid line, putting MacKinnon up there. It just gave them so much more speed, more speed. It made a difference. And I think that they started to pick up their game after that happened, too.
Yeah, because of Crosby, the hit, when it happened, as he was falling down, John, I thought I didn't like the look of the right knee, but now there's strong reports, so unless they're just reports, but they're, you never know, maybe he didn't. I mean, they said it's MCL, medial collateral. Yeah. Now, we had a guy in Detroit, Thomas Holmstrom. He played with a damaged immediate. That's the only ligament of the three that a player can, if he can tolerate it. So I don't, do you think there's any chance that he could play?
I don't know. They'd have to brace him up for sure, but I don't know. There's a lot at stake both ways. There's a lot at stake for a gold medal. There's a lot at stake for him to be injured or get himself hurt worse. I don't know. I mean, he's such a Such a leader. I was proud of the way the Canadian team reacted after he went down, and he didn't overreact. The team didn't overreact. They just got better and better. Yeah. And it was something to watch.
Okay, I want you both to be honest. Be completely honest. Did you see the too many men on the ice?
No. I've seen it 200 times since, but I didn't see it at the time, no.
I mean, it's crazy. You know, it really is that the broadcasters didn't notice it. The benches didn't notice it. The referees obviously didn't notice
it. Hey, it wasn't even close.
Well, no. And then there's six guys in the celebration circle. I mean, there's six guys hugging.
I know. But, John, I wanted to mention one play that happened, and it was an important play in the game. And I've been concerned watching NHL for the last 3 to 4 years, and I brought it up with some of the supervisors. It wasn't the same kind of a tactic, but teams were using a lead position in the last minute of the game. The puck would be usually behind their goal, and you'd get these big guys with the skates size 12. They'd put their skate up against the puck, and it would be all of a sudden 4 or 5 guys around the puck, and nobody can move it. And I asked some of the supervisors, I said, can you tell me the rule? Why are they allowing this to happen? I thought somebody's going to come in and reef somebody, and it's going to cause it. Why? He said the rule is different than the interpretation. He said the interpretation, what we want them to do, but they don't want to do it, is we want them to say, give them 2 seconds, 3 seconds, move it. A second time, move it. Right away, no movement of the puck, whistle. And a face-off in the end zone, which to me would be a good rule, because that the defensive team would be a face-off in their own end. But the one yesterday was on the sideboards, and it lasted about 15 seconds. And all of a sudden, Kempney lost his cool. He was the farthest guy. It was a cross check. There's no question it was a cross check. He got a penalty and he gave up a goal. And I don't like that rule, John. I mean both Johns, but I think they've got to do something with that. I don't think that rule. It's a strategic move now. I don't know why they were doing it at that time in the game. It was the second period, I think, and it was all on the sideboards. But there was 5 or 6 guys piling in, and the lead player had his skate on the puck, and it's not moving. You know what I mean,
Scotty? That if the guy keeps doing it and doing it and doing it,
should be delay
that's
a game.
A delay of game in some way, a delay of game.
Well,
penalty.
They won't. They don't want to give a penalty for it, John. Mm-hmm.
So, but they should blow the whistle, though.
I think they should blow a whistle, and then the penalty for the defensive team is the face-off.
Yeah, I get frustrated watching it because I just it goes on and it goes on and it goes on, and that's not hockey. I don't see any value in it as a fan, as a broadcaster.
But for John, for the defensive team in the last 30 seconds, can kill 15 seconds. It's a strategy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who started it, but anyways, that was just a side. I thought Kempney lost.
Would
his
you
cool.
have called the Kempney penalty, Scotty? Would you have called that?
Under the circumstance, I would have thought there's a lot that went on there. There was a lot. He was the last push, but there was some other pushes. But it still was a cross check. I don't think. And that instant, I would rather I'd blow the whistle and keep going.
Yeah, I thought, John, I wouldn't have blown the given him a penalty there, and I also don't think Celebrini should have had a penalty earlier in the game. So that was one power play goal for each team on calls that I don't think should have been made.
The
Celebrini play was just a hockey play. That's all it was. Yeah. Both of them had shown some muscle, and then as Scotty just said with the one against the Czechs, there was all kinds of stuff going on.
And what do you think of the 3-on-3 for overtime?
Well, I didn't think it would last long. What I really was amazed that the U.S., you know, I give a lot of credit to Sullivan, too, the way that he handled getting Quinn Hughes on the ice like he did.
Wow.
And he stayed. It was 1:15 shift. He doesn't get tired, John. And he does a lot of, an amazing thing with him, he does a lot of stop and go. He switches like Makar is a special guy too that can skate and move around. But Quinn Hughes, I mean, he tried the first time. He hides around, and that was one of the criticisms when he first got drafted. I remember they were talking about him. Too bad he doesn't have a shot. But no, now he's improved his shooting.
Yeah, that was a wrist shot. Yeah, you know the other one that the U.S. has, if Trocheck's on his game, he can make a big difference with faceoffs. And even when you start a 3-on-3 or whatever it is, when he's on, I've seen him go 70% in games, 75% in games. We had a game with Columbus in New York against the Rangers, Columbus up by a goal in the last 2 minutes. He won every faceoff, and they were able to tie the game up. And they use it as a weapon for them. So if he's on, that's a small play, but it's a dangerous play, and it's very helpful if he's on.
Well, the year that the Rangers went to the conference final, I swear he was on the ice for every faceoff against Carolina. I swear they didn't. I mean, I thought he's remarkable when he's on his game.
And penalty kill, too. Kill, too. If he wins the draw and he's on the first unit with Miller, it's helpful.
Yeah. Let me. I want to talk about the two goaltenders, Connor Hellebuyck and Jordan Binnington. Both did the jobs. What Jordan Binnington has done again in these Olympics is remarkable, John. It's ice water in his veins, isn't it?
Yeah, he is. He's very. He doesn't get frazzled at all. When he does, which is 2 or 3 times a year, you see the results when he's with the Blues. But when he gets into these situations, he's smart. You know, he's a good size goaltender, but he's not as big as Hellebuyck. Hellebuyck plays deeper because he can because of his size. And Binnington moves out a little bit. And I like to watch goalies when they're on their game. It's their ability to read you've got your mask on and your vision is the whole ice, but it's glancing back and forth. And as soon as you glance here, you have a photo in your mind of where the players are. And both of these guys have that ability to read plays. And it's like a flashbulb goes off in their mind and they read the play and they have the ability to get to where they have to go. And with Binnington, he moves out a little bit. If the person going to take the shot has nobody on the flanks to move the puck to, he's out. He's smart. Hellebuyck's a little bit deeper, but he plays big. His shoulders are up high all the time. And a lot of times when you see Hellebuyck make saves, it's because of his ability to read the plays and it hits him. He doesn't throw his feet out. He doesn't throw his arms out. It hits him. He's smart and he's big and he knows how to play big. I think they're both very, very intelligent goalies.
And the fact, too, for me on Binnington is that, you know, and John, you being a goalie would know this. When you're in the Canada net and you're not getting bombarded with shots, maybe on a power play by the other team, and that man, that goal at the other end is getting 3 or 4 times the shots you're getting, sometimes it's not easy for me. Certain goalies can stop 40 shots out of 45. They look like they're doing everything. But when the guy's getting 15, 18 shots and he's taking 5 minutes between shots, that's what I'm like you. He thinks his game. And you're right. He'll get caught the odd time by coming out if he made a save and the rebound. But that's up to the defense if he makes that save. Yeah. I admire that he doesn't get a lot of work in these tournaments, but you know, that's a credit that he can able to stay concentrated. But you know,
Scotty, that is a fantastic point. And in my opinion, the greatest goaltender I ever saw in all my years that could do that played for you, and his name was Ken Dryden. When he played in Montreal for you, he'd get 18 shots, but there might be 2 2-on-1s and maybe a breakaway, and he'd stop them all every single time. And down at my end, we're getting peppered, get lots of work with with a great team like them. But Ken's back down there going, but his mental aptitude has to be so strong that he was the best I ever saw at it.
And you're right. Comparing Binnington this year with St. Louis, he's getting a lot of work. Like, yeah. This is a tough team. I mean, you know, he's not getting the defense core. He's getting a lot of chances. And you know, John, you've been a goalie. When pucks start to go in, whatever, it doesn't matter. People give you the law of averages and everything. It's a tough game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The big question for me is, and I've watched Connor Hellebuck play a lot the last 3 or 4 years, is can he make the big save in the big game? And there are times, actually, John, where he comes out and he actually crouches a bit and he gets smaller. And I've talked to people and they say, why does he get smaller? And you know, I think Binnington's a better athlete, but Hellebuck reads the play so well. Correct?
Yeah. That's why he stays deep. He's got his size that he can do that. I also think that Binnington's probably the better puck handler of the two goalies. You don't see Hellebuck get out too much. You see Binnington do it a little more. We had a goalie coach in Columbus. He's part of Vancouver now, and Ian Clark. And he had to work with Bobrovsky and did an incredible job. Bobrovsky for the Blue Jackets over those years was sensational. But he's not a tall guy. He's tall, but not tall. Whenever Bob wasn't playing that well, he was getting beat up top over the shoulders because he wasn't playing big enough. And Ian Clark would always work with him in practice about, even if you're down, shoulders up, shoulders up, shoulders up. And when you take a guy like Hellebuck, when he's down, and if his shoulders are up, they're at the crossbar. Okay. It's a pretty good advantage. But when you talk about it, John, playing small, it doesn't matter who you are. If you play small, it's a problem.
Well, I'll tell you what. We have dissected what Canada and the United States did on Wednesday. Let's take a look at what they're going to have to do on Friday in the semifinals. Canada versus Finland, the United States versus Slovakia on this edition of 100% Hockey.
Car shopping should be exciting, not exhausting. That's where Car Gurus comes in. They have advanced search tools, unbiased deal ratings, and price history, so you know a great deal when you see one. It's no wonder that Car Gurus is the number one rated car shopping app in Canada. When you're car shopping on your phone, it shouldn't be a maze. You need to see all the information. With the Car Gurus app, you can. Powerful search tools that you see deal ratings, price history, and dealer reviews on listings all in one place. And you can turn on real-time price drop alerts so you never miss a great deal. Car Gurus connects you with trusted dealerships when you're ready, ensuring a transparent, hassle-free buying process. Buy your next car today at cargurus.ca. Make sure your deal is the best deal. That's cargurus.ca. Cargurus.ca.
Welcome back to 100% Hockey. John Davidson, Scotty Bowman. The semifinals, actually the four same teams that qualified for the semifinals in 2010 in Vancouver, Canada, the United States, Slovakia, and Finland. They're not playing each other this time. They're playing a different matchups. Canada plays Finland. Slovakia plays the United States. Scotty, does Slovakia have a chance against the United States?
Yeah, they have a chance, but I just think that the tougher matchup to me is Finland. I think that if I had a choice, I mean, I would rather play them because of the experience, and I don't know much about the goaltending, but I'd be concerned about Finland. They've got enough players that know each other. I was looking at their defense, and when you think about, I don't know the defense core on Slovakia as much because we don't know them. I mean, and they're a country that's just getting stronger every year. But that defense core on Finland worries me because you've got Heiskanen and you got Lundell and then you also got Mikkola, a pretty underrated guy. When he was playing his game with the Panthers and with Seth Jones, they were a great tandem last year. But and Olli Maat has never been a great defenseman, but at least this year he's playing much better than he has. But I would much prefer to play Slovakia, honestly. But I mean, they don't have the NHL experience, and maybe the fact is that they've had such a good tournament. I mean, that they're going to be a tough out right now with playing the U.S. You know.
Well, the reality is that they get seeded higher because they beat the Finns on the opening day, right?
I saw that game.
That's the reality. Yeah.
What do you think about the John? What do you think about the Finns, John?
Oh, I like the Finns, but I like them a lot, actually. They've got a couple of, like, Aho. There's something about Aho that he's an intense competitor when the game really gets to where you need to get to. They've got good players. They always played smart as a team. They're a little bit bigger than they have been. Now, a guy like Granlund, I mean, I saw him play years ago in the Karelia Cup in Finland. I thought he had eyes in the back of his head. He was a brilliant player, brilliant. And he's had his ups and downs, but he's playing good right now. So they've got a good team. They've got the ability to hang in. What I found amazing was Saros, the goalie, he got caught out of the net and it cost him a goal. And they were able to overcome that. Not too often in a situation like, I remember playing Scotty with the Rangers in 79. I went to the corner and I fanned on the puck and they came around and scored. And I was still standing over in the corner. And it's hard to overcome that. We didn't, of course, but they did. They overcame it. So I give them some credit there. The thing about the Slovaks is
They have a very calm temperament. And I don't know if they could pull it off with these type of players, but younger ones, from the time they start playing, they're an awful team to play the trap. I don't know if they're going to – but it doesn't seem – in this game now without the center line, it doesn't seem to be very effective because there's too much ice to protect. So I don't know if they're going to – like, it looks to me that all the teams are trying to forecheck. I mean if they're going to let Canada come at them all the time, but they do. I looked at their forward group. You know, it's a pretty formidable group, and Saros is a goalie that he could play a good game.
They've got some good forwards there. You take Hintz, you take Rantanen, Granlund, Aho. There's some players there. There's some good players. Lindell and Lundell. They've got some good players, but they're going to hang around. Let's put it that way. Can they get it done? Who knows? But they're going to hang around. They always do.
Let me ask you: Are we going to see a game from the Finns like we saw from the Czechs? Are they going to be that physical?
Could be.
They'll be physical. But I don't know. The Czechs were physical. That surprised the heck out of me. That really surprised me. I didn't think – I mean, you got Pasternak. He got hammered twice in the mouth. That was a hard game. And then when you think of the Slovaks – They've got like Chernak back on the back end. Nemec, the young defenseman, he's good. He's playing in New Jersey. They got three pretty good D back there, but I don't think they have the depth up front. But they're loose. You know, hey Scotty, when you play loose, it helps.
What about their goaltender?
He's been good so far, but I don't know if that's a good question. He's had a tough year over here in the American League, but he. For some reason, he's been able to lift his game, and you look at the Slovaks. That group's been together for a while now, and they're loose. I mean, they're the loosest team in the tournament, and they've been the most surprising team in the tournament. So there's zero to lose, and that makes it a little easier to go into a game. The Finns, they're experienced. I think they're going to hang around. I'm not sure the Slovaks can hang around. I could be dead wrong, of course, but I don't think so.
The
goalie's name is Samuel Halavai, and he plays in Iowa for Bill Guerin's team. So if he wants to, if he wants to piss the boss off, he can probably do it. So what have you made of the Americans so far, Scotty? I mean, the Swedes put a scare in them.
Where are they right now? I thought they got stymied in the third, sitting on that goal. And I was trying to figure out, who might win this game. And I said, where's the American offense? Where's the offense? Like, they all of a sudden, they played, you know, it's like we always say when you're in a big game and even most coaches feel the same way. Yeah, keep making plays. That was the favorite statement you'd make as a coach. When you say making plays, you mean don't be afraid to pass the puck to a teammate instead of just icing it or getting it out in the neutral zone and giving it back to the other team. I thought the U.S. kind of sat on that goal. And to me, Sweden was coming a bit better in the last 10 minutes because they got some, they had some really skillful, I mean, guys like Lucas Raymond and individual players like, you know, certainly Nyland, you know, Nylander and the way, yeah. the way that Carlson can pass a puck. And, you know, I thought they sat back. And you know, I was shocked that they couldn't make some plays. I mean, they've got offense. Like, you know, they had the two Tkachuks and Eichel. I didn't think they had a big game offensively, but they're useful players because they're strong and they're gonna have so much emotion though playing now. Now that was a big scare to have a team come scoring on you in a minute and a half to go. I mean, Canada was a little different because they ended up tying the game, but the U.S. lost the game with a minute and a half to go. The goalie out, you know, a very strange kind of play, but. And then they come back in overtime and win it pretty early, so I think the U.S. that game will really propel them to be they're going to have a lot of energy because they've got players that can do a lot of different things. If it's an aggressive game, if they want to play aggressive against the Finns, I don't think they're going to back up. I mean, they got enough toughness.
Well, I did tell you what, the Americans and the Slovaks play the late game on Friday. And you just wonder, are the Slovaks going to – I mean, they're a young – they've been a lot faster than the other European teams in this tournament. Will they revert to playing that quote-unquote European style of hockey and just trying to negate what the Americans do and try to frustrate the Americans? Or are they going to be a run-and-gun team, John?
I think the U.S. will find a way to have a game plan of some sort to play Slavkovsky, and he's been their best forward. And if you shut him down or his line down, you've got a pretty good chance of winning. I don't think the Slovaks are going to back up 1 ounce, 1 inch. It's in their nature. And again, they're a loose team that's been together. The young players there have been together for quite some time, and they're going to be together for a long time going forward. I like the big defenseman, Chernak, even though he makes mistakes. But if you see how he's kind of the Gudash of their team, the way he competes, he's won. He's won in Tampa Bay. He's a nasty guy, maybe not quite as mean as Gudash, but he'll play that way. So I just don't see them backing up. I just don't see the depth that they'll need to beat a team when you get to the Final Four like this. Don't see it. But the Finns have experience. They're not, I mean, they have some young players like Kapo's in there. He's made some nice plays, but he's 25 years old now. He's not 21 or 20 like some of these other young players. So I just, the Finns are going to be there, but how long they can hang in and what you have to do to beat them. And it's the two favorite teams should win one game. Mm-hmm. My gosh, we saw that yesterday, one game, how close everything was. I think they'll be close. But I'm looking forward to it again.
Okay, Scotty, if Sid doesn't play, do you want MacKinnon on the wing with Connor, or do you want MacKinnon as a centerman?
I think if he doesn't play, that they'd probably start with MacKinnon in the middle. You know, I just feel that way. I mean, it's because now you're into players that haven't played a lot in the tournament at center. And I, you know, we know that Celebrini's a center, and he's not going to play. He's going to play with McDavid. So I don't know what he'll do, but it'll depend on the climate of the game. If they see that they need some toughness, they might throw Wilson back in, and they'd probably have to throw him in with McDavid and Celebrini and keep MacKinnon for another line. Because they're gonna need. I think they're gonna need him at center. If Crosby doesn't go, it's a big loss. And MacKinnon, his natural position is center. He can go on the wing because he's with McDavid maybe, but I still think he's a center.
Yeah, those two guys line. You have two puck transporters up the ice. Yeah, McDavid and MacKinnon. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean,
because MacKinnon doesn't like to go away. He likes to come back and take the puck and carry it like same as McDavid. Yeah. Now if he's on the wing, he's going to be up the ice a little bit. I mean, I certainly the power play, that's their bread and butter. If MacKinnon's on the power play, he's on the power play with McDavid and Makar, you got so many options, and that's why it's been effective. It'd be an awful the power play to try to stop.
I think Bennett's coming back too, right, guys? Bennett coming back?
Sam's not hurt, he's got the flu, he had the virus, right?
Yeah, but he should be back and ready to go, especially with the extra day. And he's center ice. He's good at his position in games like this.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but you mentioned about Tom Wilson being moved off that wing. The way the Czechs played and the way that they frustrated everybody, he played less than 10 minutes. Yeah. They were John Cooper was pretty adamant about making, you know, Canada. One of the reasons I think Canada was able to win the game is they kept their cool. Yes. And they're going to have to keep their cool again against the Finns, don't you think?
Yeah, Finns can frustrate you. They're very calm. They don't show a lot of emotion most of the time. And they've got experience. That's the one area. I just question if they are going to be able to handle the forechecking that Canada could come up with. The way the Canadian game is now, the good players they're so adept at forechecking. They put a lot of pressure on that defensive side, and they can do that. That's the way they play now.
One thing to watch too with Finland is Saros with their goaltending. He's not tall. He's got thighs on him like tree trunks. He can move side to side like lightning. But the top corners, because he's not a tall goalie, he's been beat a few times in this tournament up there. It'll be interesting to see if Canada uses, you know, they're just going to go in and play under instincts, or they're going to go and try to go high, maybe from the bad angles too. You know, can you go high and beat him up there?
Well, the four top seeds left the quarterfinals and made the semifinals. You have to think that it makes sense that the top two seeds, Canada, United States, will be the semifinal winners on Friday. Canada gets the early game. The United States gets the late game. NBC pays a lot more money than the CBC.
Is that the reason?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for this, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you would know.
Hold on. So, John, you got a lot more of that NBC money than I did.
Well, yeah, but I worked a lot longer with them.
Okay.
Thank you, boys.
Listen, this is going to be Canada-US. If not, it's going to be a major upset in my mind if somebody else wins.
I feel the same way. I just think that those two teams, they if there was an upset and it didn't happen, it's not going to be an upset in the final. I got those two teams in the final. Yep.
Scotty Bowman and John Davidson.
Thank you.
On this edition of 100% Hockey.
With the NHL app, you can listen to every NHL game right from your phone. And with home and away broadcast feeds, you choose your way to listen.
And he scores!
Whether you're at work, at the gym, or stuck in traffic, the NHL app puts you right in the action all season long. Every team, every game, everywhere you go. Download the NHL app and never miss a moment.
So Canada and Finland will play at 10:40 Eastern Time in the morning on Friday, 7:40 Pacific time, and then the United States plays Slovakia at 3:10 p.m. Eastern time, which is just after noon on the West Coast. And I wasn't joking when I said to John, NBC pays more, so they get what they want. A lot of the scheduling around this would have been decided long ago that if the Americans get to this point, then they would in fact have the primary airtime. And just for the record, the gold medal game on Sunday will be at just after 8 a.m. Eastern time, 5 a.m. Pacific time. And if anybody's squawking, why are they doing it that early? Is they have to have it done with the insurance and buffer of overtime and a medal presentation at hockey before the closing ceremonies. Hockey's always the last event at the Olympic Winter Games, but with the fact that they have now said we're going to allow overtime to be played, 3-on-3, by the way, until it ends in 20-minute periods, they have to have a little bit of a buffer between the game, the ceremony for medals at hockey, and the closing ceremony. So it's going to be a fascinating weekend. Canada, Finland, United States, Slovakia, and then the gold medal game on Sunday. Thanks for listening and watching this edition of 100% Hockey.